sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody?
We are live, Randy.
We are live. How about that? Live.
Can you hear us? We're trying to get a hold of Randy Harris, who's on site in Las Vegas. You're listening to Knockout Radio. This is our weekly 2-hour radio show. We were refused talking sports with Randy Harris with MMA, Knockout Radio, Combat Sports. And we are live. I'm in the booth. I'm actually at the mothership here in Clearwater, just holding it down, trying to get Randy on the phone. I know he's checking in from UFC 229.
Can you hear me?
We haven't got him yet. We're still waiting on him. So we got plenty to get to. Oh, there he is. I hear him ringing in, chiming in now. Welcome to the program, Randy. Randy Harris, live from Las Vegas. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Welcome to the program. You are on the Wednesday edition of Talking Sports with Randy Harris and Knockout Radio.
I'm on? Wow,
you're
really?
You're on. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Am I the 14th caller?
Let me check. I don't know how to count that high. Yes. Yes, you are.
Awesome. All right. It's almost hard to believe. You know, you and I were together in Brooklyn.
We were.
When a lot of the shenanigans went down, and it's hard to believe we were only a couple days away from it being promoted as the biggest MMA fight of all time. You know, we'll have to see how it plays out, the excitement. I've heard talk of 20, 25, maybe even 30,000 at the fake weigh-ins on Friday.
That's incredible. No, I mean, I think from a promotional standpoint, you know, didn't have the allure, obviously, of McGregor. We know he's out loud. We know he's McGregor is out loud. But Khabib, I don't think I've ever heard him say a word.
Well, I mean, they did the press conference last week. You know, he's quiet. He's different. You know, he's not going the boisterous, loud, you know, self-promotion. And he doesn't need to. I mean, he's an undefeated world champion, dominated some of his fights. We got to go back to what happened in Brooklyn, and yes, I'm holding that against him. And, you know, people have asked me my thoughts on this fight, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be a great fight. I, like everybody, one of two things is going to happen. Conor's going to knock him out in the first round or two, or Khabib's going to lay on top of him and, you know, do some ground and pound, play his game and win the fight, you know, in a five-round decision, kind of a Diaz kind of thing. But I've always said, to me, a good fight is when I can't pick the winner. You
sure.
Know, I can give you either side. I can give you a great reason to go with either one. And, of course, I can give you a great side to not go with either one. So it's going to be interesting. The whole card, or the whole main card, is totally stacked. We're going to have two of the main card fighters. Ovince St. Preux is coming back. He was on live in Orlando with us, I believe.
Yep.
He'll be coming on. Felice Herrick back on. She was on in New York with us. Nick Lentz has been on before. He's on the undercard. He's going to get in and get out. And so they're going to, the three of them. Also tonight's Whitaker fighter, Leah Letson, will be on for our weekly Ultimate Fighter segment. Plus, we got to talk about debacle that happened last week in Chicago.
Oh, man. That's I walked into the studio and Ed was crying. I mean, I felt bad for the guy.
The only thing, and I'm saying this jokingly just in case some of the players are listening, because I've already been called out. I went up to one of the players in New Orleans in the locker room. We started the talk, and he said, "Were you one of the guys that said we'd lose the bye week?" Which I didn't.
Okay.
And I picked him to beat New Orleans. I picked him to beat Philadelphia. I picked him to beat Pittsburgh. I thought that they would beat Chicago. So, you know, I get it, but it's just, I forgot where I was going with it, but, you know, it's just crazy times over there in that locker room right now. Oh, I know where I was saying. The only thing that I'm glad is that I didn't go to the Chicago game because I almost went.
Yeah, I mean, going into the season, we kind of thought that Chicago was the laydown of the four. Like, okay, yeah. If we start 0-3, we'll just go into Chicago after the bye week. We'll clean up. We'll start our season when Winston is back. And the opposite has happened. Hey, Randy, are you there? Oh, I think some of the Buccaneers got to him. All right, so, you know, we're trying to do the show. Randy's obviously in Las Vegas. He's out at the UFC 229, so we'll highlight that. Obviously, if you're in Tampa Bay, if you are a Bucs fan, you know, and a Lightning fan, at least you're happy that the puck drops on Saturday coming up to kind of soften some of the disappointment. You know, the Fitzmagic wagon, everybody was electrified. The city was on fire. We were really excited about, you know, the epic start. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 400 yards, three consecutive games, and then to just flatline the way that they did. You know, a lot of people calling for Mike Smith's head. I don't know. I don't think that it's the defensive coordinators or anybody on the sideline, for that matter. I mean, players got to make plays. And they just gave away way, way too much yardage, way too soft, missing tackles. So if you're a Buccaneer fan and you want to chime in, you want to call the station and get in, we're trying to get Randy back on Skype. As you know, he's out there covering the UFC 229. So this is the greatest fight buildup of all time. It didn't have the banter or the antics of the Mayweather-McGregor boxing match. You didn't have the world press tour. You didn't have the cities and the name calling and the over-the-top antics. You've just got McGregor and Khabib going head-to-head. And like Randy said, the best fights are the ones where you can't pick a winner. And each one of these guys has a strong suit. And depending on which one gets off to a better start, probably will dictate who wins that. So, but the card is no laughing matter. I mean, it's stacked. In the lightweight, you got Tony Ferguson taking on Anthony Pettis. Yeah, OSP versus Dominic Reyes, Derek Lewis versus Alexander Volkov, and Michelle Waterman taking on Felice Herring. So your main card is stacked. It's going to be an exciting event. Obviously, I wish I was there in Vegas for the buzz, but I'm here at the mothership holding it down. And shout out to all the Randy regime, the Knockout Radio fans across the country chiming in right now, Shane Grossman, and Eric Mayor. I know you guys are checking in. I know Ed and the guys in the studio are trying to get Randy back, so we're just kind of filling some airtime here. If you guys want to chime in, talk about the Rays, the season's over. But don't feel bad. The Chicago Cubs, their season's over as well. The 2016 champions are out as they lost a one-game playoff to the Colorado Rockies last night. If you guys watched that at all. If you're a Tampa fan and you're local and you're excited about soccer, the Rays announced that they purchased the Rowdies. Not sure exactly what that strategy is about, if they're going to try to keep the Rays in St. Petersburg, if they're going to try to relocate the stadium or build on Outlink property, or if they're going to sell it for a profit to get the funding to move the team to Ybor City. There's a lot of different strategies out there. A lot of people are talking about that. So we can talk about that. Chime in. And while we're talking about soccer, we have the U.S. men's national team coming to Tampa. They're taking on Colombia at Raymond James Stadium. The Tampa Sports Authority. So, you know, it's exciting. I mean, Tampa's a huge sports town. We have a lot of... Hey, Randy, are you back?
I think I am back.
Hey, welcome back to the show.
All right. Well, I had a super-duper tech come and take care of it for me.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're good to go. And because of the issue, we were able to move OSP. He'll be on in later on in the show in the second.
That's a big guy to move. Be careful.
It's a big guy to be nice enough to move. So I don't know where we went. You know what else I want to talk about real quickly?
Sure.
And now that the OSP has been moved, we're good for, you know, at least half an hour, maybe even the first hour of talking some other nonsense as well.
Okay.
I watched the Cubs game.
Okay.
I'm sure you didn't. I even said on the Monday night show, on the Monday Night Player show, the worst thing to watch is baseball. Yet I watched the Cubs game into extra innings.
13 innings.
Last night. It was crazy. And give me your thoughts on the day before, okay? You had two playoffs to win the division, Chicago and Milwaukee, and the Dodgers and Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, Arizona, right? Not Colorado. It was Arizona.
I don't know.
162 games. One of these teams is either going to win a division or be a playoff, you know, be a wild card. Now, 163 games, and a team's now gone. Do you think the wild card game should be more than a one game, maybe a best of three? Now, the flip side is, before you answer, it's not necessarily fair for your division winners who are now sitting at home. You would think, oh, I'm sitting at home, I'm resting. They claim that they don't want to sit at home, that they want to play.
No, I don't like it. I mean, you have 162 other games to show your talent, show that you're legit, to show that you're deserving of moving on to the next round. So, no, they don't need a three-game playoff for that.
Okay. That's why you're the baseball guy, and I'm not.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is crazy that the Cubs are out of the World Series for contention this year after winning it 2 years ago.
Will the commissioner of Major League Baseball, will Joe Torre, will all the people that run MLB have a total meltdown if the Yankees lose tonight? Oh. So your two big teams, the teams that were picked to be in the World Series, if the Cubs and the Yankees are both gone?
I don't know if they'll have a meltdown, but it's not good. I mean, those are your flagship, you know, brands. There is a send of stories scenario for the Rockies. So if they can build on this momentum and go deep, I think that builds just as much fan excitement as your Yankee pinstripes being in the final dance.
Absolutely
not. Oh, sure it does.
Absolutely.
No, people love that. Like, people love like the underdog, like the Houston Astros last year winning it. I mean, come on. Where was the disaster this year? What team can we rally around a hurricane?
Tampa. The disasters at Tampa.
We had a hurricane wipe us out, but it was in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I disagree with you that, yeah, a lot of people like the underdog, but there's still more Yankee fans. There's still more Cub fans. And to be honest, I don't root. You know that, right?
Right, of course.
I don't root. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But I did root against the Cubs last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, because of all those people that jumped on the Cubs bandwagon.
You know,
I feel bad for the Cub fans that have been lifelong Cub fans, that have been, you know, fans of the Cubs for 20 years, 30 years, 80 years, 15 years, not 2 years, not once Joe Madden went there.
Right, right.
So I did root against him. So,
but I mean, but you know, like, are they going to call for Madden to be fired? I mean, like, the Buccaneers right now are calling for someone's head. I mean, they want somebody to be responsible for this meltdown.
Who do you blame? Okay, and who do you blame? Do you blame the head coach?
No, we got to play the players. The players got to make plays. They know. I mean, these guys come from college, like, level sports that are just like pro of yesterday. I mean, these collegiate programs are the real NFL from 20 years ago. These guys know how to read plays. They know how to watch film. These guys are already professional athletes before they make it to the NFL. They got to make plays. They got to make tackles, and they got to make plays, and they got to be accountable. And I don't see that on our team right now.
But, yes, you have to make the plays, but you have to be put in the position. The right calls have to be made. You have to be running the right offense or the right defense or the right packages or the right whatever. But let's be honest, a lot of those players out there, I don't think are starters. A lot of them are rookies. So are you expecting a rookie to walk right in and cover some of the top receivers in football? Now, I'm not saying what happened in Chicago, you know, is the best receivers in football, because our defense made a mediocre at best quarterback look like he's headed straight to the Hall of Fame.
Right. I mean, but not only that, but I mean, our front four, you know, on the defense, they didn't get any penetration the whole game, you know, so the secondary is your scare. Right. I mean, that's who's going to save the day. If the first four were disrupting passes and disrupting timing and gave the inexperienced secondary a chance to actually make plays on bad passes or weak throws, then I say we have an issue. But I think it starts up front.
You know who is in the Hall of Fame?
No.
That's a question. Okay. And the answer is Ryan Fitzpatrick's jersey from the Steeler game.
Really? And why would his jersey be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, he set the record, you know, 3 weeks, over 400 yards, first quarterback to ever do it.
Okay.
So now his jersey, that doesn't make him a Hall of Famer, does it?
No.
No, I'm asking you a legitimate question.
No, not at all.
Then... That's now you understand where I stand on the UFC fighters that their fight is in the UFC Hall of Fame. They're not in the UFC Hall of Fame.
You're talking about Stephen Bonner and the Forrest Griffin. Like, those guys had an epic battle, a war.
Oh, I just got the presidential alert.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. What's it say?
It says, wireless emergency alert system. No action is needed. Do you know that you can turn it off? Did you know that?
So did they nominate the judge or not? What's going on?
I don't even want to go there.
I don't know what the text is for. What's he texting us for? Is it an Amber Alert? Is he missing?
Yes. Yeah, it is an Amber Alert. All right. Okay. Since you brought up the judge, Kevin, how about this one?
Okay.
And I'm not taking sides.
All right. Okay? Yes.
I'm not taking sides.
You never
do. But I do sometimes. The exact same people. And I was one of these that said this about Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston was innocent of the charges that he got the 3-game suspension, if I was Jameis Winston, I would be on top of a mountaintop. I would be screaming at the top of my lungs. I would not go down without a fight. Yet, that's what this judge did when he went before Congress, and he came out and he was boisterous and he was screaming from the tops of the mountain or the mountaintops. But the same people that wanted Jameis Winston to do it didn't like that this guy did. Okay.
Yeah.
With that said, I'm not expecting you that. How about this? My favorite line, and it happens to be your favorite subject. This weekend is the first annual pizza festival in New York City. I have some questions.
Yes.
First, there's no such thing as first annual.
Okay.
It's the inaugural. Come on, you're New York City.
Right. Get us together.
New York City is supposed to be pizza, you know, the haven with Maven and heaven, correct? How can this be the first pizza festival in New York City?
It's just the first of this organization that wants to claim they have a pizza festival, and they got the best pizza guy and the best pizza girl, and it's just a bunch of pizza fraternity boys and girls that have nothing to do but hang out and make pizza and give them a reason to hang out in New York City.
Okay, my next question for you. How would you have liked me to handle this? You know, I'm here broadcasting at UFC 229. We have some of the fighters coming up, Felice Herrick coming up, Nick Lentz coming up, Leah Letson coming up, OSP coming up. I'm trying to be on my best behavior.
Don't do that.
So we know where that's.
The ratings go down when you do that.
Where did I tell you the AT&T story? That's even better.
Okay.
So a guy walks up as I'm working on the equipment. I'm trying to get the show ready. An older guy, obviously a... what are they called when you stay at a hotel? Not a resident.
Like homeless?
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Resident.
Whatever, a renter, whatever.
Extended stay.
Okay, so the dude comes up and he says, do you know where the bathroom is?
Okay.
So I tell him. So then I tell him. And he walks away.
Okay. And just like that, I'm not sure where Randy is going with that extended stay hotel story.
We were. Did I disappear again?
You did. Were you in the bathroom?
No, just the internet here is just awful.
So this guy asked where the bathroom is. You tell him, and he disappears. And what happened next?
No, he just walked away. I mean, if you're going to just interrupt somebody that doesn't even work here, can you at least say thank you? Hey, thanks for your time. Thanks for sending me to the washroom.
I think we're way past the days of, like, you know, public consideration and politeness. I mean, we're in a tech-savvy world where everybody cares about themselves and are extremely entitled.
And why is a bathroom called a restroom? Seriously.
Well, I guess it's to take a break. In fact, that's what I would do. If we do go to a commercial break, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's fine. You're going to go to the bathroom.
Or I'll just go in there and rest. It's a restroom. If you're not
going... You're going to go in there and take a nap?
Might as well.
I don't know.
But how's Vegas, though? I mean, I know Greg Hendrick is a great friend of yours. I got a chance to catch up with one of his drivers today in Lakeland. Are you excited about the event? Are you going to do more off the strip things? I know you always go to shows and concerts. Are you there for just the UFC this time, or are there other extracurricular activities you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think I possibly am going to make a stop for the 18th time and see the Tenors of Rock. You know, good buddies of mine. They won the England's Got Talent. Great guy, so I'm going to go take care of that. I'm going to go hit a couple of restaurants that I normally don't do, just because I'm here out by myself, as Greg is with the PFL in New Orleans.
Okay.
As our boy Alex Nicholson, hopefully, will get two steps closer to that $1 million payoff. He has to fight not once but twice on Friday. So, you know, I'm going to walk around. I'm obviously going to bring my, I want to say annual, but it's the regular gift. The regular gift that I bring home to my wife every time I come to Vegas, Chicago, or New York City. So you were with me, I believe, so you
yes,
know what that might be.
I do know what that is. You're a big fan of bringing home gifts every time you travel. But, I mean, from your experience, I mean, you've been covering the UFC for so long. How is the buzz and the fan base? I mean, Vegas has always got a million things going on. You know, are people excited about this fight? Is this something, is it just a normal fight, or is this like really the biggest deal?
Well, I came straight from the airport. So I really haven't even, this is how close I was to broadcast time. There was a line for the free bus shuttle to the car rental place. I took a cab. So if you know me and you know that I have walked to not have to pay for a cab. I paid the $16 to go the 2.5 miles so I could get here. So I literally came right here. I literally came right to the convention center to set up. So I really haven't felt the buzz yet.
Okay.
But typically in any of the past fights, the buzz is not on Wednesday because, you know, most fans don't come in this early.
Sure.
Tomorrow is the press conference. Friday is the real and the fake weigh-in. And then, of course, the fight on Saturday. So some come in tomorrow. Most come in on Friday. It's going to be crazy on Friday and every Conor McGregor fight. And I've been to, I believe, all of them. I would have to look all of his UFC fights. Has been just off the chain. His fans are loyal. His fans come and they're just as loud. And what's, what word do I want to use that's very similar to obnoxious? Obnoxious.
Yeah, that works.
You know, just loud and boisterous and, you know, and they, you know, get into it.
Sure.
And that plays right into Conor's hand. Now, this much I do know. Tomorrow's press conference with Conor and Khabib, fans will be in attendance. You know, there was such a big deal made out of the New York press conference, which was just Khabib, Dana, Khabib, and the bottle of whiskey. So expect the bottle of whiskey to be there tomorrow as well.
Okay. All right. No, I'm just surprised that we're this bit, like, far into it. I mean, I can't believe this fight actually happened, and now we're here, and it kind of just came up unexpectedly. I didn't really get the build up to it that I usually do for most of these fights, and
because they didn't do it, you know, they didn't do that big promotion, and you know, I've been told that they were using the video of the Dolly, yet I haven't seen it.
Right.
You know, now I don't watch a whole lot of TV, and that might be part of the reason, but. You know, I get what you're saying. There was such a bigger buildup for Conor Aldo than this. And I don't know if that's good or bad. And to be honest, I don't know if that's going to even affect ticket sales. Because real MMA fans want to see this. Conor McGregor fans want to see this. And Conor McGregor is that Ric Flair athlete. And what I mean by that is, you know, the Ric Flair thing is you would pay money to see your favorite wrestler, Ric Flair, win. Or you would pay money because you hated Ric Flair so much that you wanted to watch him lose. And that's what Conor McGregor kind of falls into. You know, I've always said this about Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes was either loved or nobody cared.
Sure.
They didn't eat him until towards the very end, and the reality TV show and what they did to him and all that kind of stuff. So Conor is different. People will pay money to watch Khabib beat him.
Now, are you excited? Are you expecting that McGregor's, like, striking is so much more advanced now that he spent the boxing years, you know, like, training and fighting Mayweather? Do you expect him to have a huge, significant advantage in the octagon?
You know, this is like old school UFC in that, you know, back in the old days, it was one discipline against one discipline. You know, it's MMA has evolved so much that today's athlete is either good, really good, or very good in more than one or every one. I think what Saturday's going to come down to, and I'm not a rocket scientist, everybody believes this, Conor's going to either knock Khabib out within two rounds, or Khabib is going to take Connor down to the ground, keep him down, kind of Nick Diaz style, and Nick Diaz, but with Connor, Nick Diaz. You know, and just kind of grind and, you know, maybe do some ground and pound, maybe just lay on top, GSP style. That's what this fight's going to be. You know, I don't think this is going to be a stand-up war. And, you know, I'm going to ask all the fighters that are going to be coming on here shortly, you know, do they, in their fight, and do they believe in Connor-Khabib fight, that they're going to go the George Gugel, I'm going to beat you at your best, not I'm going to beat you at my best. I don't think that happens. I don't know why any athlete would do that. But it'd be interesting to see. You know, will Khabib try to stand with Connor? I think it'd be a mistake.
And if and remind me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong, because I often am.
You're wrong.
But isn't this Tony Ferguson's vacated belt? I mean, wasn't this Tony's that he lost because of injury, and Khabib took the interim of the interim because McGregor was the original champ of this weight class?
Well, yeah, Tony Ferguson was the interim and then got stripped of the interim. So Khabib then took over everything. You know, that fight against, you know, highly ranked Al Iaquinta.
Right. I think he wasn't even in the top 10, was he? Iaquinta at the time was maybe.
Who cares about rankings? Yeah. Honestly, who cares? The rankings are ridiculous. They mean nothing. You know, and they shouldn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. And you don't even need it to sell a fight, which was one of the reasons that the rankings were first started, was to help sell the fight, to say, you know, number one against number three, or, you know, number six against number two. Who cares anymore?
Or are you satisfied? Names. Are you satisfied with the winner of this Khabib McGregor fight as being the pound-for-pound best lightweight in the world?
I don't know if I'm ever content with that. You know, how can you say that? Do you honestly believe that there is not a great, any category, any weight class, we'll say lightweight, that there's not a great lightweight fighter that's not in any organization?
No, of course. I mean, you're going to have that. But, I mean, you've got Tony Ferguson, you know, right in the mix on the undercard, the co-main event, fighting Anthony Pettis, the former champ. I mean, you know, you got four guys in that same building on Saturday night that could be the greatest in the world at that position.
I'm going to disagree. You may have three. You know, and I know both Pettis brothers are here, and I hope they don't hunt me down and kill me. But right. I honestly wouldn't put Anthony in that. You know, even if he beats Tony Ferguson, I still wouldn't put Anthony Pettis in that category of the best pound-for-pound lightweight fighter in the world. I wouldn't. I could okay with Connor. I could okay with Khabib, depending on how that plays out Saturday. And if Tony Ferguson beats Anthony Pettis, and if Tony Ferguson then goes on and beats the winner, Connor Khabib, I would be okay saying that Tony Ferguson is. I just don't know. I've never been a big Pettis guy.
And how big, I mean, how big are these support groups for these fighters? I mean, McGregor coming with the Irish flag, and you've got Khabib with the Russian backing. I mean, how big of a difference is that to have a fan base behind you that's, you know, with national pride behind it versus a guy like Anthony Pettis or Tony Ferguson? You know, like, how big a difference does that really make in these kind of events?
You know, I don't know. I guess that would be a question that you and or I should ask some of these fighters. I don't know, but I will say this. I have had a Tampa Bay Buccaneer player tell me within the last 7 days how disappointing it was for so many Eagle fans, for so many Steeler fans, you know, to be at the stadium. You know, so it would be the same thing. If you're a fighter and all you hear is fans for that your opponent, can you block it out? Do you block it out? Or, you know, let's be honest, there have got to be fighters. I know I'm not a fighter, but I would say I would fall into this. I don't want fans. I want you to boo me, and I want you to cheer my opponent. And that's going to jack me up even more to go out there and do damage.
Well, the good thing about having me as your co-host, we do not have any fans. So you've got your wish.
I don't know. I picked up a couple fans on the plane today.
Okay. All right. Yeah. A nice smooth flight on your way to Vegas today?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. You know, we got in our seats, and some things went down, and some people moved around. And next thing I know, one of the people moved, and the mother, her daughter and the fiance were sitting next to me.
Okay.
So it was kind of cramped seating, and they kind of moved around, and the mother took the seat because she was smaller. And we started talking, and the fiance and the daughter love MMA. The mother is talking to me about the UFC on the plane.
Okay.
She starts saying, well, you know, I can't train. I'm 50 years old. I'm like, what does that mean? She asked me a Joe Rogan question.
Really?
It blew my mind. And I'm going to tell Joe Rogan when I see him what she asked me and okay. what her response was.
Are you going to tell us when now? Are you going to tell us or no?
When we come back, I will tell you what was asked of me of Joe Rogan and what her response was. Coming to you live in Las Vegas at Park MGM, getting ready for UFC 229 Saturday night, Khabib versus McGregor, Tony Ferguson versus Pettis, Felice Herrig versus Michelle Waterson, OSP versus Dominic Reyes, who he was supposed to be on too. That's supposed to be one of our guys, but they're in hiding for some reason. We'll get to that, and I'll tell you the Joe Rogan question when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sub.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment. With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
It's time to get back in the holiday spirit, and we are very excited to once again be involved with the Ryan Neese Foundation and the 10th annual Power of Giving Holiday Party presented by the DeBartolo Family Foundation on December 6th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center. You will enjoy delicious food, open bar, games, celebrity guests, and great entertainment while helping to empower teens to become leaders and impact giving in their communities. To purchase your tickets or to get more information on the Ryan Neese Foundation, please go to www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Experience the power of giving and get your tickets today at www.ryanneesefoundation.com.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Clean Energy Massage and Wellness is dedicated to providing you with the highest quality of care and proud to be the official massage and wellness facility of the 2018 Playership. A clinical deep tissue massage from Clean Energy Massage and Wellness can provide the relief from pain and stress. We tailor each session to you and your needs to provide you the best care possible. Conveniently located at 4255 Henderson Boulevard in Tampa. Sports massage, deep tissue, acupuncture, medical massage, and much more. Improve your health today. Call 813-769-9280 or go to clinenergywellness.com and go Bucks!
Ride in luxury. Go to Tampa Limo and Car LLC.com today. Going to the prom, the airport, or that special night on the town, call Tampa Limo and Car at 813-415-4576 and ride in luxury. Tampa Limo and Car has a fleet of sedans, SUVs, vans, minibuses, limos, party buses, and the motor coach. Professionally trained and dressed chauffeurs will handle all of your needs. Going to the Bucks game? Go in style. Book online at TampaLimoAndCarLLC.com today.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Beast Sapp, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. I'm going to knock him out.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Park MGM here in Las Vegas, UFC 229 right around the corner. A lot of cool stuff still to get to. So, all right, so back to the story.
Okay.
So sitting, you know, next to the lady who's going to get married on Saturday, and I said, just get through it quick so you can get to T-Mobile for the fight. Her and her fiance, big friends. So the mother says to me, I just don't get this Joe Rogan thing.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? She goes, Joe Rogan's from Fear Factor. You know, I get it. I understand all that. But what is his tie-in, you know, with the UFC and MMA? Now, she was very knowledgeable, much more than I anticipated and expected, in the world of MMA. She knew names. She knew some things. Her hairdresser, I believe she said, is the wife of the late Corey Hill, you know, who was in the UFC and snapped his leg and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So she's very familiar. And I said, really? And you know, we talked about it a little bit. I said, you know, Joe Rogan's a black belt, right? She goes, no, I didn't know that. She goes, that explains it. She goes, okay. Just her whole question, her response, everything was so cool and spot on.
Huh.
Like, okay, it's kind of, to be honest with you, and I brought up Shane Grossman. It's kind of the Shane Grossman knockout radio story as well.
Well, you know, he was the most hated fan. He was your arch enemy, right?
I wouldn't say arch enemy, okay. You know, not arch enemy. He didn't like the show, and we talked about it, and it's documented, and kind of for the same reason, you know, her same question, you know, what does Joe Rogan know about MMA? What is Joe Rogan sitting there, you know, and she kind of questioned that, and when it was brought to her attention that Joe Rogan has credentials, is a black belt.
Sure.
You know, was going to not only fight, but in my mind, kill Wesley Snipes. It kind of opened her eyes a little.
What was that? But was that, I mean, for Joe, was he doing the martial arts? Was he in the disciplines before? Because, you know, I can see her point. He was just a host of Fear Factor, a TV reality show, a game show. And then he became a commentator for this new fighting series and became the voice of the UFC. I guess not Bruce is the voice, but commentator. So I can see where she understands. But I wonder if he was... if he got inspired because he was doing the commentating, that's what turned him on to be a mixed martial artist, or if he was doing it prehand.
Well, honestly, I get the question, but does it really matter? He's now been the voice, or whatever you want to call him here at the UFC, for 15 years? 17 years?
I don't think it matters, but I think it's cool. Well, I mean, I think...
No, sure it matters, because even if he started when the UFC was in its... you know, infancy, and he started, and then he started training, and now he's a black belt. It does kind of mean something. It's not like he just became a black belt 2 weeks ago.
Sure, sure.
So he has been training. He's been going through the discipline, you know, with Eddie Bravo, and, you know, so I definitely do get it. But here's the important part of the whole thing.
Sure.
Here's the important part of the entire story of meeting Courtney, of meeting Courtney's mom, I barely met Courtney's fiance, but we will meet because... they're huge MMA fans. But Courtney happens to be the general manager. You ready for this?
Yeah.
For Mr. Empanada.
Oh, what?
How about that?
Oh, boy. We need a sponsorship. I love those empanadas.
No, we have one.
Ah, yeah. Good job, yeah. Randy, on assignment.
Yep.
Making exactly. the most out of those air miles. But going back, we talked about, you know, we talked to Gold. Who's the former commentator for the UFC? Goldberg. Yeah,
Goldberg.
You know, he's a huge hockey buff, right? Like, he's like a level 5 referee for hockey, you know. So, you know, I don't know. Does he train MMA? Does he do any of the disciplines? I mean, so I think it's relevant. I think it's cool that Rogan is a black belt in.
Absolutely.
I mean, so I don't know if Goldberg does that.
Again, it does make sense. I mean, and again, it was a very relevant question. It was somebody who didn't know. All she had to do was Google it, but she didn't. But it's a legitimate question. You know, I got to say it. It's kind of like you doing this show.
Yeah, I have really no business being here except the fact exactly. that exactly. I've spent my entire life doing some sort of martial art, either kickboxing, Shaolin Kung Fu, Valley Tudo back in Denver, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Brazil. So I actually had a love for the martial arts before I, you know, joined this program as a commentator. And it's hard for me. You know, I'm a pizza guy. I'm usually on the other side of the camera in the spotlight. And now I'm reporting on, you know, spotlight people. And so it's a different role, but I'm enjoying it. And I have a passion for it.
All right. Well, speaking of that, great segue. Let's segue over to, I don't know what you did. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you got there. I don't know how you got the invite, but what happened today? How did you end up with another Hendrick driver?
Okay, so over in Lakeland, they are announcing the grand opening of Ollie's Discount Bargain Center. They basically, for example, when Toys R Us closed and they went bankrupt, they bought all the inventory and then they resell it at a discount. So they had the number 9 car. They had Chase Elliott, the famed driver from the Hendrick Motorsport, come in town, do an autograph session. So I was on my way to the studio. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go by and you know, meet Chase and say what's up. And they treated me like royalty. They knew I was with the Knockout Radio. They knew Randy Harris. So they gave me backstage access, VIP treatment, and I got some liners and an interview. And it was a great day. And I figured you were probably out there with Greg anyway. So I figured I'd just let him know his boss was, you know, on the line.
One of the greatest names in sports. Let's be honest. He's a driver, and his name is Chase.
Right?
Right?
Sure.
Now, is he from Dawsonville as well?
He is. Yep, he's one of the Dawsonville Dogs.
Because that's another one of the great, you know, his dad, Bill Elliott.
Sure.
Awesome Bill from Dawsonville is what they used to always say about him all the time. Lake Speed, you know, the old NASCAR driver. Some of those names, how do you know when your wife gives birth that he is going to be, you know, a NASCAR driver, and you name him Lake Speed,
right.
Fast Speed, you know, or a basketball player, you know, you name him at birth, you know, Dribble City. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
How do you do these things? I don't know how you do, but somehow you definitely do. All right, tonight, Ultimate Fighter. We are into, I think it's the 6th week. I believe it's the 6th week. First 3 weeks, can't think of his name. Kelvin Gastelum wins the first 3, then the next 2. What's going to happen tonight? Will it be a Gastelum fighter? Will it be a Whitaker fighter?
You know, the momentum's on the other side now. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of the UFC Ultimate Fighter, how that, you know, it started out one-sided. I think Miocic wanted to lose like win the first couple and then went back to Who's it? What a double champ! Why can't I think of his name?
Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, that guy. Remember what about Cormier getting into the insult game? Do you like his demeanor with John Jones? Do you like his public outbursts and calling him a cheater?
It's not new. I mean, he's been saying it, you know, since the very beginning. You know, and he never understood why people turned on him when he was turning on John Jones, and he's released. And I don't know if this is true or not, but Daniel Cormier, I believe, is the one who released that the UFC would like him to give up the light heavyweight title so that they can use that when John Jones fights Alex Gustafsson towards the end of the year.
No way. Why? Why would he do that?
Money? Why would he do it?
Money?
Why would he do it?
Money?
Or why is the UFC going to make him do it?
Man, that's the problem with like having the biggest name in the sport, the biggest promotion of the sport, you know, having all the power. That's
no, I don't think it's that at all. You know, it's kind of what's going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. It's called consistency. You have to be consistent in what you're telling your employees, or in this case, your subcontractors, because they're not employees.
Right.
But if you didn't allow Conor McGregor to keep both belts and now keep neither belt, how are you going to let Daniel Cormier keep both belts? Now, I'm okay with, as long as they're defending, then let him keep it. If he's going to go down and fight light heavy and defend it, and then go up and fight heavyweight and defend it, I'm okay with that. But if they're philosophy, if their blueprint is you can't hold two belts, then you can't hold two belts.
Do you see a John Jones Cormier rematch? Do you see this third fight going down?
I don't, and I don't think Daniel Cormier really wants to do that, and I don't think Daniel Cormier, I mean, he needs to do it. We know that. You know, he never beat John Jones, and it's going to go down as John Jones is the better fighter, because he is. Cormier couldn't be him, didn't beat him, never will beat him. And what is he? He's going to go there and get beat again? As bad as it looks now, he's your double champion, right? Why would he go and fight John Jones, the only guy that he hasn't been able to beat? And then what happens if he loses?
Yeah, that's devastation. I mean,
right now he has every comeback. You beat me, but you cheated. Now, does you know, are you going to take away the loss? Are you going to? And if you are, then that makes Cormier the sad thing is, if that did help, and we can argue whether, you know, steroids and all that stuff helps, whether it helps in training, whether it helps in the fight, whether it helps you hit a ball further, whether it, and all that stuff. We can argue that for days. But isn't it a shame if it did? Cormier could be down as the greatest fighter of all time.
Sure. Sure.
If he didn't have those two losses, he's a double champ. Look who he beat. Look who he beat over in Strikeforce. He could have gone down. I'm not saying that he's not. I don't know. But those two losses obviously puts other people in the discussion. Take those two losses out, and he would be the greatest fighter of all time.
I agree. And you know, and I don't want to switch gears too much on you, but I know you got interviews coming up, but do you want to chime in on your thoughts on the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays purchasing the Rowdies?
Not really.
No? Like, do you think it's an attempt to keep the team in St. Petersburg? Are they going to build a new stadium there? Is this just a smoke and mirror show to get Tampa to pick up more funding to build a new stadium in Ybor? I mean, what's your thought?
I don't know. I don't honestly think one has anything to do with the other. You know, I still don't think they're going to build the stadium in Ybor. I still don't want the public to build the stadium in Ybor. You know, if the Tampa Bay Rays want to flip the bill, then great, go for it. If not, I would rather see them move. I would rather see any team move than to see taxpayers pay for a stadium that a public company or a private company gets all the benefits of.
Sure, of course.
To me, it's just ludicrous and ridiculous. I still don't think it's going to happen. I still think they're going to move outside of the Tampa Bay area. But I've been wrong, I don't know, almost every time I talk.
Right. No, I just wanted to see your opinion on it, because that happened while you're gone, I think.
Right. No, I saw it. You know, I heard some people say that the whole ploy was buying the Rowdies, moving the Rowdies to play in the Trop, and then the Rays moving over to Ybor, blah, 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 blah.
Huh.
I'm sure that they didn't buy the Rowdies because they're going to be able to help marketing and pack the stadium. Because they certainly don't do a good job of it at the Trop.
Well, I think the outdoor venue, the Rowdies, where it's on the water, similar to San Francisco, with the balls could travel outside the stadium into the Gulf or into the bay, I think that's a big appeal.
Oh, I get it. I see what you're saying, that the Rays are going to move from the Trop to play at Al Lang.
I think so. I think they remodel Al Lang.
That makes sense.
I think they remodel Al Lang, and they build it on the waterfront.
I don't think they remodel anything. I think they play in Al Lang. And now those tickets are going to be more valuable, because the 9,000 people that come to a Rays game, there's only going to be 7,500 seats.
Sure.
So now it makes sense. If the Rays play at Al Lang Stadium, I'm all for it.
I think it's awesome. I would be there more than I ever have at the Trop. I mean, I don't go to the Trop a lot, but I think it's a great venue. I mean, to be outdoors, to be on the waterfront, to be in beautiful downtown, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, but you can't. You can't play outdoors in Tampa.
Well, not during the 105 Sunday game. Of course not.
Well, no, it's not even 105. Look at how many softball rainouts I had.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, at 7:05, I mean, you...
It rains from 5 to 7:30 to 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And so now an 8 o'clock game that's supposed to start at 7, if it rains till 8, you're not starting till 8:30 or 9.
Well, I mean, what's the difference? You don't start your NFL game. You don't start Monday Night Football until 8:15 in our market.
You know, I get it, but that's only once a week.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to – you have 7,000 fans now. If you start playing at 9 o'clock Eastern, you're going to have 6 fans then.
Well, the Khabib fight, the main card starts at 10 p.m., but they won't fight until 1 in the morning, you know. So.
Well, which is still okay because my flight leaves here at 1 in the morning Vegas time.
Why do they fight so late? Why can't they do this where, you know, people on the East Coast can actually watch it?
Well, for the obvious reason. You know, who is this for? I mean, to please us on the East Coast, you would want the fight to start at 7 o'clock, right?
Well, wouldn't you have more viewers in the East Coast? I mean, you have New York, Philly, Boston. I mean, the majority of your population of the U.S. is on the East Coast.
Yeah, but then you have 4 o'clock on the West Coast. You know, so you have to pick and choose. And so I get it. I mean, I totally understand. I mean, you can't – if the main card were to start at 4 o'clock Pacific time, that means your undercard and the fight pass and all that stuff is going to start at 1 o'clock. I just don't know if you can do it. And you can't do that NFL-wise.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's just – I mean, there's not a way to solve that. There's no solution. There's nothing.
What, go back an hour?
Just make people stay up later in different time zones?
How many times do you plan on, and I know you have the new Stream TV box, how many times do you plan on staying up and watch, but you can't stay out? I can't stay up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I got kids. I'm old. I got restaurants. I can't stay up till 1 in the morning to watch a fight.
Awful. And then the press conferences. No, I get it. I mean, I totally get it. But what do you want to do? You can't expect the left coast to do stuff so that the east coast can benefit, which hurts the left coast.
I think you go with where you have the most viewerships. I think where you have the most views, the most people awake, and I think that's your eastern time zone. I think they're missing a big – I think they're doing it wrong. That's my opinion.
Why do you think it's eastern?
You know, there's more people on the east coast time zone or closer to it than the west coast?
I don't know, but how would we find out?
I mean, you'd have to add up all the people that live on the West Coast and add up all the people on the East Coast and see which one's bigger.
Now, first of all, that's not true. What you would need to do is add the people on the East Coast that are watching the UFC and then add all the people on the left coast, you know, that watch the UFC as well. All right, listen, let's jump to this commercial break early because when we come back, it's game time.
Okay. Felice
Herrick here. We're going to catch up. Last time we saw her, it was in New York City. And we're going to talk to her when we return. Coming to you live from Las Vegas, UFC 229. This is Knockout Radio.
And those wicked good cupcakes.
Well, guess what? You're going to get them again.
It's not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.